This is madness.
With 900 years old, you reach registered, you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
It's a little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Here with Ryan, I am Sam. We are sadly not joined by our illustrious forefathers, forebears, and founders, Chris and Mike. They are off.
They're off on some business on Cata Pneumonia that will not count.
The business won't count.
It just will not count.
Very good. Chris is gonna be real tickled with that reference.
I don't know if we're the Wild Boys. What are we today?
All right. I feel like we're the NKOTB.
We are. We're the NKOTB, and if you don't know what that means, we're not going to tell you.
We're not going to tell you. It's the thing that it's just Google it, and then you, but also it's sort of mixed up because like the NKOTB were kind of like the OGs, but like what I'm saying is like
also we're sometimes the NKOTB is just called NKOB.
What?
And people drop the T because it's like, you know, kind of like a preposition or whatever. I don't know if that's the right term, but.
That's too close to knob. That's just like, that's flipping the first two letters of knob. Yeah, and like, I don't think they want to be known as like, you know, we're the collective formerly known as knob.
You've said that you're a big, you're kind of more of a fan of their later grittier stuff, right? So like Dirty Dog and things like that. Speaking of NKOTB, we both got a beer. It's, we're having a little bit of a loosey goosey day. As the two people on the podcast who know the most about beer, we're having a nice drink and we're having a nice, so kick the feet up. It's going to be a relaxing pod.
You know, we are the young boys on the pod, but
the young boys,
but we're old enough to drink because we
are younger than the other two. And also we hate Freud. We just hate him. We're more young boys.
Right, we're the young
Carl Young boys. You don't want to debate Jung versus Jung versus Freud?
I don't want to. What was the movie?
I suppose it is a dangerous method.
There we go. That's what I was
looking
for.
Don't worry, I got it queued up, baby.
That's what I was looking for. Folks, we are on Twitter at DroidsPod, Instagram at DroidsPod. You can find us on Facebook at the Droids Podcast, or you can email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you're listening and spread the word. These are all the places we exist out in the world. And oh wait,
we got one more
place. Ryan, you want to take that one?
That's right. So as mentioned two podcasts ago, I believe, although it was mentioned officially in your and Chris's podcast, which I appreciate. I totally missed the edit pickup where you guys had like had a space for me to insert this. But anyway, it's always awkward when someone says that. But twitch.tv/RyanDroidsPod, that's R-Y-A-N DroidsPod, is where we are doing our KOTOR streams. We're going to build up to doing live streams, but for the time being, just while I'm kind of getting introduced to the game, I am doing pre-recorded streams just because I want the option to be able to cut out kind of the boring parts for people. If some people might argue that they're all boring parts, but I'm having a great time and I don't think they're boring at all. I got to tell you, I'm having a great time playing this game. As we know from the podcast, I've had a bunch of false starts on it, but it's been really good to kind of commit to it. And I've been having a wonderful time. I'm about 2 to 3 hours in at this point. So, you know, I mean, just the tip of the iceberg. But it's Ryan Droids Pod. If you go to twitch.tv/RyanDroidsPod, there will be a front page that says that I'm offline because I'm not streaming right there right now. But if you go to videos, that's where you can view the KOTOR pre-records. And we'll be posting those every Tuesday. So you get a pod on Friday and then a stream on Tuesday.
And for those of you who are out there really strong with math, yeah, you're right. We're doubling the content we're offering you.
Doubling the content. Double the quality, baby.
Just like we promised from the beginning.
just like we always promised. And also, I will probably start doing streams of other games that aren't Star Wars related on there, just for fun. You know, it's a big gaming year. I mean, last year was a huge gaming year, but I'm way into RPGs and I'm way into talking about them while I play them. So, please check it. Join us on Twitch. Bradley Kotor, a 16-year-old game, that transitions beautifully into our main topic for the evening.
Well, I gotta say, Ryan. Oh man, you set me up for a transition. I was gonna. I'm ignoring that setup.
It's not our forte. It's not our forte on this show.
If any long-standing listeners will know that that moments like those, the beautiful alley-oops, we let them sail right into the photographer section.
they nailed the kid in the front row who was there.
I want to just stick with the stream. You know, I have watched a good bit of the first one. I haven't gotten all caught up because there's just so much content now from the droids.
I don't know if you heard. There's double the content.
I think it's absolutely delightful. Like, I love listening to you. I think you know, it's fun to it's the sort of like play along. What do they call that? Play with, play along with.
Let's play.
Let's
call
play.
Them.
You're kind of doing. Yeah, it's the let's play experience for KOTOR. You know, I enjoyed watching your character creation.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah, Kari Tipyip. One of the big hobby of mine is creating Star Wars names, and I think I really hit it out of the park with this in terms of the double vowels and the placement of apostrophes. Also, I have to say, and I talk about this on the Let's Play, that KOTOR, while a great classic game, not so great at naming Star Wars characters. Someone's name in it is Janice. I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Janice, like with an I.
Like, it's just spelt. No, it's just spelt like Janice. Like your mom's friend Janice. It's not like two J's and an apostrophe OS or something.
How does the you're 3 hours into the game? How does that compare to like when your fall starts before? Are you have you already passed this point many times over, or is any of it new yet?
No, I am officially at a new point. I've passed where I've ever gotten to, and it's exciting. You know, I think it more has to do with the commitment. You know, I feel like I have a responsibility to an invisible audience, and I you know, I want to finish it for them. So,
invisible, silent. Some wonder if they're even there at all.
Yeah, an invisible audience that I'm imagining and isn't watching. But I
once again, that's Twitter at DroidsPod, Instagram at DroidsPod. Please reach out. We're desperate.
Twitch.tv/RyanDroidsPod, and make sure you go to the videos section. It'll say that I'm offline because I'm not currently live streaming. And when I am, we'll let you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm
but
excited
who knows?
To see
maybe
where
I'll
goes.
Start streaming The Division 2. Maybe I'll start streaming Devil May Cry. Maybe I'll start streaming some Dragon Age. You know what? Sky's the limit on this one.
You could go anywhere. You could go when, anywhere. The sky
when
is
no
the limit.
When no one's watching, you could do anything. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Are you desperate? Are you desperate for Mike to just put like a do not release tag on this?
I will not be stopped.
The sky is the limit, Ryan.
Yeah.
The sky it's like a door opened. It's like the ceiling came off today.
Yeah.
And the
well,
sky
you know,
is the limit because what did we learn? What did we learn today in video game news?
Well, a big thing. It's Lucasfilm Games has been relaunched by Disney.
And that could go anywhere. That could mean anything.
This is a brand that the last release they had, and a lot of this information, just to give credit where credit's due, is coming from Engadget, who did the reporting on this. The last Lucasfilm Games release was 1991, and it was Monkey Island 2. Which is the Monkey Island games are kind of considered these like classic adventure, like point and click adventure games. That's kind of what Lucasfilm Games was for. Now, like a lot of people may not know this because what they generally associate video games for Star Wars with is LucasArts, which is the brand that released like all of the Super Star Wars games and things like that. that is a name now that is licensed out to other developers. So they've relaunched a different brand. Are you still listening, everyone? Lucasfilms Games, which didn't only do Star Wars games. This is interesting because EA, Electronic Arts, has kind of been handling a lot of the Star Wars properties in video games almost exclusively the last few years, and a lot of people feel like they've fumbled.
If you're wondering, well, man, the last how many years? The last 6 years? What games even came out? Yeah, that's the question on everybody's mind. You've got the biggest, like the largest publisher with the most resources, and they managed to get out two games with like a 50% track record of success.
Yeah, and there's always kind of a little bit, you know, with Battlefront 2, there was a huge like controversy with the microtransactions. EA is kind of, you know, I hope they're not too litigious. EA is kind of notorious for kind of having these bad practices and being kind of like money grabby at the expense of the consumer. And also they
and the employee.
They're kind of known as one of the worst companies in America to work for. So it's kind of exciting to see. It is exciting to see Lucasfilm kind of potentially take that back. Also, EA getting out the Battlefront games, which are enjoyable, but they've also canceled like two or three other Star Wars games that they just cannot get off the ground. So I think the hope here is that Lucasfilm Games will be able to kind of bring that home.
Well, it starts to make me wonder. I mean, obviously, EA has this. I think like the biggest franchise they have is Madden, right? And then they also are in the shooter FPS like online shooter realm, right?
Yeah, so they have like the Battlefield games.
So they do. And so I think what it's showing is that like they have cornered, and I haven't played either of those franchises. I mean I played Madden, gosh, like back in like when it was like Madden 06 or Madden, sure, you know, something like that was the last time I played it. I'm not a big sports game guy, but like, you know, I think they perhaps rightfully cornered that market with some, you know, with some inventive, you know, gameplay and great graphics and everything, like good packaging and stuff. And then they seem to have found a way in to this, the sort of early days of online gaming with like quick shooters and like, it feels like they have these two huge revenue streams, and then and that kind of drives everything. Like they don't know what to do outside of that. They don't seemingly know how to like develop a game anymore. They just know how to like reskin their old games.
So another interesting aspect of this is, speaking of KOTOR, is EA in the last decade or so acquired BioWare. BioWare, the developers that made the original Knights of the Old Republic game. And then they outsourced the second one, which people also loved. So BioWare also, again, is everybody listening? BioWare in the last few years has kind of had a few unsuccessful launches. So Mass Effect was a hugely successful franchise that, with Mass Effect Andromeda, a lot of people were very disappointed. It was kind of a bad launch. And then recently they had Anthem, which many could call a disastrous launch. So BioWare is in need of a win for a beloved studio that made Knights of the Old Republic a long time ago. They made the Baldur's Gate games. They made the Dragon Age games, the Mass Effect trilogy. People have loved their games. So it's possible if Lucasfilm Games gets involved, they might make a push for a KOTOR 3. And BioWare is kind of in need of a win, and it might be like a good way for them to get a home run. So I'm interested if Lucasfilm Games will... you know, since BioWare is owned by EA, if they'll kind of play nice with that in order to get this kind of, you know, they could have a huge launch with that game with their new brand or their reset brand.
You know, and especially if we I don't know if we'll get to it in this episode of the pod, but like there is, you know, more rumors or continuing rumors that the Old Republic is kind of the suspected setting for this Weiss and Benioff series, and so it would entirely make sense that they want to revisit the sort of most popular, most widely accessible iteration of that I don't know, what would you call it? Section of the timeline, I guess. Or, yeah. You know, corner of the galaxy. You know, so who knows? We may have the continuing adventures of Kari Yip Tip. Kari Tip Yip.
Yes. And it's also possible, like Lucas, their old Lucasfilms games, that they won't exclusively focus on Star Wars games. I certainly think that's what they'll start with, you know, to get the brand name out there. But like we mentioned earlier, you know, they did the Monkey Island games, a bunch of point and click adventures. It's very possible that they'll kind of just be a first party studio that isn't only Star Wars.
Did that franchise, the Monkey Island franchise, did that continue beyond that game?
I don't
game?
Believe so. I think Monkey Island 2 was the last one.
That's crazy. I remember that game coming out, and I don't feel like, I mean, 1991, that is so long ago, and I don't feel like games were necessarily on my radar even at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played them. I know that they're considered classics, but, there are things like that that people have been clamoring for, whether it's in video games or movies, that are, people have been asking for more, and you know, like studios or developers bafflingly like just don't do it.
Right.
You know, and that's like an interesting part of the industry, you know, in a world where everyone wants to franchise everything, you know, it's strange that there has not been a KOTOR game since the second one in 2005.
It really is nuts how long that series has been dormant. I mean,
yeah but the same, there's tons of franchises like that too. It's so strange to me.
I don't know. I guess my best case scenario is that this, you know, I guess selfishly, look, we're a Star Wars podcast. My sure. best case scenario is that this ramps up some production on some really good, you know, Star Wars like narrative based games. I'm certainly happy. I'm not really an RPG guy, so I mm-hmm. probably am not the target for a new KOTOR game, although I hope it comes, because it also probably means there might be, you know, a third person action platformer, which would be for me, to finally get that under the Star Wars banner. And then the other side of it is just like, I do love some of those LucasArts games, and sure. there's a world in which, even though it'll have this different, I just use the word banner, but this different banner, you know, over it releasing or making the game, you know, I would love a return to some of those, you know, point and click adventure, yeah. you know, mystery puzzle solving games that LucasArts was so good at. And just like to bring that into 2019 with all that we have in gaming, you know, yeah, the best case is that this is like a like quiet reboot of LucasArts, like
sure,
like proper, you know.
And even in the realm of Star Wars, it's like you look at that universe and it's ripe for almost any kind of game. You know, like so Battlefront yeah. obviously are shooters, you know, and they those are like huge multiplayer ones, but you could certainly have a single player one. They had campaigns, but it's also, you know, it lends itself to heavy RPGs because of stats and like abilities. It lends itself to just hack and slash kind of thing. It's like there's so many different kinds of gameplay styles that can be applied
Pilot
to the Star
Sims,
Wars brand.
Smuggler, GTA style, like yeah. it everything
literally
fits.
Yes, you could have an RTS, a real-time strategy game, where, you know, you're organizing fleets to attack each other. That would mm-hmm. be like a StarCraft kind of thing. There's so much that can be done that, you know, has been explored in one way or another. Like you mentioned, like a third-person kind of like action platformer. They had the Force Unleashed franchise. And that's been dormant almost for like 8 years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
those
so
were
they could do another one of those.
It is wild that, I mean, I guess it's like, yeah, what happened that EA couldn't crank out one of those in the last 6 years?
Yeah.
No, I think it's good. It's good news for people who want Star Wars games, because there's probably going to be some more coming into development, and they're going to be done in-house, so to speak. This is an arm of Disney, so it's like, you know, hopefully that means, you know, it can attract top talent and there's like some level of sort of quality assurance going into it. You know,
well,
they're certainly going to be invested in that.
They now have the personal investment in it that EA does not, which is that they're protecting their own brand.
Which now also, beyond Star Wars, beyond Marvel, includes much of the Fox catalog, because that deal went through. We are recording this, well, I guess it was like midnight last night or 12 a.m. today. We are recording that now the Fox properties...
Will, in Solo 2, will Lando go to Pandora? Probably. Will Bart Simpson hop in a TIE fighter? Yeah.
I definitely think we will see on the things like The Simpsons, like the Fox animated stuff that's on TV. Yeah. We're gonna get a lot more Star Wars, a lot more Marvel.
Family
references.
Guy can finally start doing its Star Wars parodies again.
Well, you and know? we've talked about covering them for the pod. I know that Chris and I watched them about close to 10 years ago now when we first moved to New York.
Sure.
We watched that in our first crummy apartment. And
you and the mice. You guys and the mice, you got on the couch and you...
We thought at the time they were great.
There's some clever stuff in there.
Curious how it holds up.
Probably not great.
Probably not great.
Will there be commercials where Poe Dameron is sitting next to Deadpool and they're chatting about what's on the TV? Yeah. It's all happening.
I think one of the front runner big like topics with this merger was the idea that like what Marvel gets back, you know, that finally almost all, with the exception of Spider-Man, I think, and Hulk at Universal, but like
still got those Sony holdouts,
you know, but like it pretty much puts everybody under one roof at Marvel. And there is a question. I mean, I do wonder, like, what do you do with the successful, both financially and for fans of the character, tonally successful Deadpool films? You know, it's like, it feels crazy. Like, you can't get rid of Ryan Reynolds. And it feels weird to shutter.
You can't. No, well, it's I mean, I've said this before. I don't love those movies, but I mean, once in a generation does a confluence of actor and part happen so profoundly as Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds. He was born to do it.
Well, and there's so many weird angles to this, which is that like his also not just the alignment of actor and character, but also like just how bad he wanted to make it happen. He willed this into existence, and it almost seems that through his sheer force of charisma that like the movies became a hit. Like, I'm more aware. I saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one, but I'm like more aware of Deadpool as like an externality of Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. It's almost like Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise, where it's like I now, like, he willed that franchise into being.
The movies are almost secondary to like his cultural presence.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So I am curious with something like that, like, Who stays? Who hangs on? Who goes? You know, I can't fathom anyone from the current X-Men franchise.
No, being brought over. It's a hard reboot. I mean, listen.
And
after Dark Phoenix, which if it's anywhere as good as its trailer indicates, will be a franchise killer. You know, I think that'll be the end of that. Will New Mutants ever get a release? Who knows.
I almost wonder if Disney is like happy that Dark Phoenix is getting released, because it kind of sets them up as like people are gonna love whatever you do.
Yeah, it's true, and they also like they have the that they're kind of getting that, you know, after the fact. Like, I don't know how these things are going to be split up. I guess it'll technically be a Disney release, but there are things that are already on the slate that they kind of can't get rid of. So they could kind of be like, yeah, we kind of inherited this one, but that was a mess. So, like, moving on.
Well, what's going to happen with these? I mean, there's four Avatar movies that James Cameron, you know, has shot two of.
$1 billion to make, yeah.
You know, and it's like, how do you... Obviously, they have a plan. They valued it at, you know, 73... What was it? 73...
$71.3 billion.
Billion. $71.3 billion. And that includes Avatar. They're not going to kill that franchise, but it is kind of like, where does this live in a world that's like from the same studio that's bringing you Star Wars, that's bringing you Guardians of the Galaxy? That's like, you know, it feels a little odd, especially I think because Avatar always felt like it was James Cameron's attempt at a Star Wars,
sure,
like franchise, not maybe a literal Star Wars movie, but
do you think so, you know, it would be cool. They would obviously never do it, but just for funsies, if in front of Episode 9, since they have it now, if they just put the 20th Century Fox logo back in,
that would be really cool. Actually, I think they never you're right. will. Obviously, they never
for
would
for brand reasons. Because yeah, they're like, this is a Disney thing now.
Yeah,
but you know, that'd be fun. Although, I mean, this look, really might now is... that they have Fox, though, this really means that they have all of the rights to distribution for the Star Wars movies, because the A New Hope, straight like in some strange kind of like legal mumbo jumbo, was kind of, the home video release was still owned by 20th Century Fox. So
right.
Now that they have it all in completion, the idea that we're seeing, you know, all of our hopes of seeing the originals kind of restored in terms of like Blu-ray releases and stuff like that and high def stuff, is very close to being reality.
Disney's never seen a pile of money that big that they've left on the table. No. I mean, I think it's not been announced, and I don't think that they have any reason to rush that kind of announcement, but it's coming. And I think we all can
yeah, I mean,
be excited about
wait
the...
until, you know, they'll wait until Episode 9 is long gone. Like, we're all giving them our money on that. You know, they'll wait for a slow year and then do that.
No, I think that's one of many, many exciting things. You know, I think it also means like the folks who have been involved on all those Fox projects, and, you know, folks who've worked on, you know, Searchlight Pictures and stuff, you know, you have this, it deepens the pool. Not that Disney couldn't get those folks before, but there's definitely, I think, among the studios, there's a little bit of loyalty. There's a little bit of like familiarity. It's who you know. And so, you know, I do think like for the franchises that you and I are super excited about, it does mean like there's some new players on the field, which is exciting.
Will Jake Sully finally get to say, "I see you" to Juno? Yeah.
We have spent a good bit of time talking about Marvel, because it's also, I think there's probably some overlap with our listeners, but we certainly on the pod are big fans. We've had a very active text chain the last week
years.
And a half since that Endgame trailer dropped, and we are coming up on Endgame here.
We are certainly in the Endgame now.
We are in the Endgame now. It had to go this way, Tony. There was no other way.
Thanos, Tony. Tony, it's Thanos. Thanos, Tony. He's a plague, Tony. That's my Mark Ruffalo.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos, Tony. Luke Skywalker. I thought he was a myth. By the way, you did do a great impression. That was, I was not given credit last week. For the Rey Luke Skywalker, I thought it was a myth, but I'm happy to share it.
No, I you know,
it was beautifully done.
I can only ever do impressions of you if they're your impressions of others.
Right, sure.
But what I was saying about Marvel is we've floated the idea. We've basically all started rewatching the MCU movies.
Are constantly rewatching the MCU movies just in life.
Right. And as we've gone through, I know that Chris and I have been working through roughly in order, definitely sort of by like phase at least, in anticipation of Endgame. And so I do think we've floated the idea internally of dedicating a few episodes here coming up to talking about the MCU. I think that, you know, hopefully if you're listening, that's an exciting idea. You know, if you're listening to the Star Wars podcast, there's definitely a lot of overlap in the fandom. So hopefully it's interesting to you, or it will be interesting to you. And Beyond that, it's also, I think, just the nature of how we talk about these movies. We're going to be talking a lot about Disney and the production and the sort of making of process that goes into these movies, which obviously is relevant to Star Wars because at this point they're managing, I mean, Disney's managing, you know, 70% of franchises people care about.
Also, the Marvel Universe has informed how franchises are made now.
Yeah.
You know, across the board. I mean, Star Wars obviously is its own big story, but Star Wars with Solo and Rogue One started its own extended cinematic extended universe. And that is in no small part to the fact that Marvel has shown success with this, and some people have had more success than others in replicating it. But it is a very relevant thing to the franchise that we talk about on this show.
You know, I wonder if we're going to... I think Disney's probably holding back a major slate announcement until after Endgame, right? And that's, you know, it was prior to Phase 2 that they announced, like, you know, what was it, like 5 or 6 years worth of movies? This impossible slate, and they've delivered on nearly all of it with the exception of, I think, Inhumans was on there. But it's like, you know, they sort of promised the sky, and like then have over the last several years delivered on it, and we are at, you know, Endgame is obviously this major culminating, you know, 10 now 11 years of movie making by Kevin Feige, and I think I would expect that sometime between that and Spider-Man Far From Home we get another sort of massive slate announcement. That's going to include a lot of the stuff that's being speculated about. And I also wonder... go ahead. Yeah, no,
well,
go ahead.
All I was going to say is I think that... I'm sure that they have Phase 4. Obviously, we know that Phase 4, some of the movies it will include. But I'm sure they have it all mapped out. But I think that they're very much taking a victory lap with Endgame. I don't think they want to distract at all from Endgame. Because, you know, we were talking about this on the text chain, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, but I rewatched the original Avengers the other day, and I was thinking about when that movie came out. So that was 2012, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
When that movie came out, I remember going to the theater and saying to a friend, like, it's all been building to this. And that was the fifth movie? We're now 21, we're about to see the 21st movie in this, and it, like, really has all built to this, you know. We're at the end of Phase 3. We're at the end of a trilogy.
How naive do you feel like looking back at, like, you know, the 2012's Avengers, like, felt like it delivered completely on the promise of the teaser in Iron Man, and like Endgame is now coming and it's showing us like, No, that was the beginning.
Seeing the end, you know, the post-credits sequence in the Avengers was Thanos.
Right, right.
And it's like, you know, they made that promise a long time ago. So I think that, you know, I'm sure that internally they have this all set up. They couldn't, like, answer to stakeholders by just being like, yeah, we'll make it. We're going to do make-em-ups when Endgame is over. But I do think that they are, like, fully just driving toward Endgame.
I think you're right. I think the idea of the victory lap is true. And I think, you know, we're going to see something similar with, I think there's going to be real similarities in the sort of marketing of Endgame to Episode 9.
Sure.
I think that's going to be a real victory lap. I think that's why we don't have news about, you know, whether there's an Obi-Wan solo movie or series or whatever. It's like,
yeah, I mean, they haven't even announced that there are other movies yet.
Yeah,
it's like, of course they're going to be.
Things have quieted down, and so I think we're like, this is how crazy I am as a, like, movie fan. It's like my anticipation is building up for the announcement of what's going to build my anticipation for the next decade of movies.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, either in late 2019 or early 2020, we're going to have some just like major, seemingly impossible promises made to us. But if the last 10 years have shown us anything, Disney is committed to delivering what I think we all agree on the pod has been a pretty consistently high quality product on, mm-hmm. on those promises.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's exciting to all of you out there listening. Hopefully you share some of our enthusiasm for Marvel, for Cap, for Iron Man, for Steve. We're doing this for Steve.
We're doing it for Steve. Because this may be this may end up being a eulogy.
I will not listen to that. I will not hear it. I will not hear it.
To quote Wonder Woman, Steve.
And on that note, get on over to the Twitch stream. It's twitch.tv/
Ryan Droids Pod. Go to Ryan the videos and it'll be there.
All right. So
every Tuesday.
So guys, check out the new live to tape streams on Tuesday. Over on Twitch with Ryan Plays KOTOR. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DroidsPod. Send us an email. Send us an email or a voicemail or a video mail at droidspod@gmail.com. We live in the future. You can do it. You can do it. And we're on Facebook at the Droids Podcast. This has been fun. Hopefully we can Avengers assemble that whole team with Mike and Chris back in the saddle next week and spend a little bit of time. Unless all of you flood our accounts with pleads to not do the Marvel thing, I think we're going to spend some time with that, which will be hopefully a fun diversion and a way to just get to the trailer.
I dare you to try and stop us. I dare you.
Well, look, this is something we can talk about and get excited about while we wait for Chicago, while we wait for Celebration.
That's right.
And the trailer that's sure to drop. Until then, until next week, keep flying them X-Wings. Rogue One. Leader. Gold leader.
Almost there. Almost there. It's the way.
Annie?
Angela? Do you want to go to medieval times, Tony? Thanos.